Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Jay Vicks, who is a serial entrepreneur and founder of JVI Mobile Marketing. Jay started his agency as a side hustle in 2012 and just celebrated his 10th anniversary by growing that side hustle into a full-time agency focused on consulting, coaching, and fulfillment. Today, we're going to be discussing Jay's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Jay.
Thanks, Julia. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
You know, I feel like I've been a serial entrepreneur ever since I was a little kid. I always wanted to, I was like the idea of like running my business, being the boss, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what continues to motivate me is, you know, we all go through different seasons in life, right? So there's always something that the motivation changes over time. Mm-hmm. So right now it would be my family, my wife, my daughter, right? You know, they keep me moving, keep me going every day. And I know that there's a purpose to it all. But, you know, if you asked me that same question 20 years ago, it might've been money, you know, it might've been just, you know, status, right? Something different. So I think it changes, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important to just, you know, find out what is that driving factor? What is your why? Cause you know, when times get tough, it's so great to be able to fall back onto that. Mm-hmm. And then, so tell us your story about starting JVI Mobile Marketing.
You know, I love when I get asked this question because it cracks me up now. And I think it is kind of an interesting story. In 2010, I was selling Verizon cell phones. I was working for a cell phone retailer, right? And we mm-hmm. sold Verizon plans. And at this particular time, just to kind of date this, the BlackBerry Storm was one of the most popular smartphones. Like, so that just puts us back to where it was. So basically, long story short, smartphones were just becoming a thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I went to a business growth conference. It was actually put on by Action Coach. And the person that was teaching the workshop had asked a question to somebody in the group, and this one person who I actually knew, a friend, stood up and she had said, "I wish somebody would teach me how to use my stupid smartphone." And I was like, just floored. I started writing down on a piece of paper the title of what would become my newest workshop, How to Use Your Stupid Smartphone. Right. And I started teaching people how to use Android phones because that's what I used. I wasn't an iPhone person, still not an iPhone person. Yeah. So I started doing these workshops, and the people that were showing up consistently were slightly older people at the time. I would say, you know, over 50 for the most part. They got their first smartphone. They wanted to keep up with their kids and grandkids. Right. Mm-hmm. And I would teach them how to do things like send a picture, upload a picture to Facebook, right? Just do text messaging, like the most basic things. What I started to realize was that a lot of these people owned businesses.
Interesting.
And they didn't know how to use this technology in their personal lives. they surely didn't know how to use it in their business lives.
Yeah.
So I started to build a little bit of a side hustle and start to go to these business owners. And the first thing I offered was mobile apps. I was a mobile app developer through a third party reselling tool called Business Apps. And then it got into text message marketing. And I have a long history of web design and website marketing and management. So then it was that people were asking me, hey, can you do websites? Can you do this? Can you do that? And over the last 10 years, it has just blossomed into a full service agency. And now we've kind of shifted our focus a little bit more onto strategy and the conversations that happen. But we still execute all these digital marketing strategies.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, talk about just really like falling into something. But that's really cool that you were able to, you know, think on the fly, figure out, like you saw the need that, you know, these were, you put that two and two together, that these were entrepreneurs that you were working with, teaching them how to use their phones and that they must need help with their digital marketing services.
Absolutely.
So, such a cool story.
Thanks.
Awesome. And then so like, how did you originally get into digital marketing?
You know, it's interesting. At the time, it wasn't really called digital marketing. Back in 1996, I built my first HTML web page, right, from scratch, right? I learned how to do it, self-taught, and I tried to go down the programming route and really like look into web development. Mm-hmm. And I just never really got good at programming. I knew just enough to be slightly dangerous. Like I could really mess something up, but I couldn't write a whole program or a whole website from scratch. And so that took care of the technology part of it. I've always been really interested in technology, like the tech side of it. But through my career, I've been in sales, I've been in management, and I've been, you know, I've had to learn marketing throughout. So I've just stayed on top of the technology of it. And that all turned into just kind of understanding this thing that has now become known as digital marketing. And in the last 10 years, really, I've spent a lot of time going back, retraining, constantly learning, because it's always changing, right?
Yeah.
People always say, how do you keep up with everything that's going on in digital marketing? And I'm like, I would be lying if I told you I could. Like, you cannot keep up with everything that's out there.
It's a challenge.
But I think it is a super, it's a really tough challenge. I like, and I'm not trying to learn everything about it. I like knowing enough to be a generalist. I like being a generalist and learning a little bit about each of the different specialties that are involved.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that you were, you know, you started back in 1996. In the early 2000s, I went to college for website design and development. And there was like two women in the class. It was just like completely outnumbered. And yeah, it wasn't for me. You know, it's interesting. I'm glad I did that experience, but I just like loved the design side. I loved marketing, but the actual development, the coding, it was not for me.
You know, I thought I was going to like it. I really wanted to do coding. And one of the things I got my first web design job in 2001, and then I took a job that involved a little bit more coding. 2001, it was the second job I had in that space, because I remember I was there working there on 9/11. I just know where I was that day. And I moved from New Jersey. I grew up in New Jersey and I moved to North Carolina in 2002. Trust me, there's a reason I'm telling you this. You were talking about there was only a couple of women in the class. Yeah. Well, when I left New Jersey and moved to North Carolina in 2002, there were no web design jobs. There were no tech jobs. Like it just wasn't happening yet in North Carolina. In North Carolina, it was a little behind the times. Now it's a booming tech area, Raleigh and Wilmington and Charlotte.
Yep.
But it wasn't yet. So when I came down, I couldn't continue on my path of web design and web development because it just wasn't ready. North Carolina wasn't ready yet, or Wilmington, North Carolina wasn't. And so I kind of had to put that stuff on hold. Then I still dabbled on the side, but I had to go take a different job. And that's when I got into management and sales and stuff like that.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, when you were first starting out in the early days, what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome?
Oh, gosh. You know, I wish I knew more about, at the time, the biggest challenge were operations, right? The operations end of running a business. I could execute the strategies. I could do the work of the actual, like, doing what the customer paid me to do. I could work in the business really, really well. Working on the business, I didn't realize was going to be that difficult and that there was so much that goes into it. Like, you know, not so much on the financial and the taxes side of things. My dad's an accountant. He's been great. He's been doing my taxes since I was a kid. I can always go to him for those questions.
Yep.
But like documenting processes, people management, delegating, right? Those are things that, I mean, still to this day, I still have struggle with, you know.
Yeah.
Gotten admittedly a bit better. I'm not so much in that deep, dark place where like, I don't know what I'm going to do next. But that's really the biggest challenge is just the working on the business side of things. Everybody's like, oh, you're a marketer. You must be great at marketing your business. I'm like, you know, look, the cobbler's kid has no shoes. The auto mechanic's car needs new brakes, right? And they just don't have time to do it. So
yeah,
I might have the ideas. It doesn't mean, and it's not just marketing. It's the operations side of it. It's the whole package. It's not just marketing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, I think, you know, when you go into business, it's because you love what that subject is, whatever it is. And then, you know, you have to learn a whole bunch of other things to actually run the business itself along the way. So yeah, it's, you definitely got lucky that you have an in with your dad's an accountant, but yeah, a lot of people, that's like a huge, you know, pain point, and it's struggling really managing the books. And yeah, there's so many learning experiences along the way.
There sure is. I mean, the biggest thing I could say to anybody, and I do take my own advice in this, is find people that are good at these things and become friends with them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, find your mentors, find your advisory board or advisory group, find those people that can help and stay close and ask questions and
yeah.
don't be too proud to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. Such great advice. I know the squeaky wheel really gets the oil. It's so important to just surround yourself with people who are, you know, where you want to be, and then also, you know, are doing those different areas where they could be benefiting your business as well. So I love that tip.
Thanks.
So I'd love to talk about sales a little bit. So, you know, sure. What are some ways that you're, you know, growing your agency and bringing more leads into your agency?
Oh my gosh. We could probably talk about this for hours. And obviously I know that we don't have that on this type of format, but you know, I recently in the last year stumbled upon something that's working really well. And as a matter of fact, Julia, you're kind of doing our method right now. Right. And it's not that we don't have an audio only podcast, but what we did, first of all, I love networking. Every town I've ever lived in since being in business, I have joined a networking group, not mm-hmm. necessarily BNI, but you know, a referral group, leads group.
Yep.
And I love the importance of networking. And if you ask me where my money comes from, it comes from referrals. So when the pandemic happened, I had just gotten this tool called StreamYard. It's a great software. Mm-hmm. And I started doing these live streams, and we actually did, I did a concert series and I did these business interviews, but I love live streaming. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I said, I wonder if I could live stream interviews with business owners to give them the chance to tell their story and talk about their products and services for just 20 minutes, mm-hmm. ask them a couple of easy questions, and then give them that video for free. Because I'm already paying for the software. It doesn't, you know, how impactful would that be to make, you know, it's a good lead in with a stranger. It's a good foot in the door, right? Yep. 'Cause I'm offering them something and there's no hidden catch. I mean, I tell them like, look, I want to build my network and make it bigger. And if I can interview you and you can share that interview, other people are going to watch it and learn about me. Right.
Yep.
So it's this win-win. So I started this live stream series, and just a couple hours ago today, we did our 20th episode of Meet the Experts with a really cool property management company, a franchise in that's based out of Tennessee called iTrip. And cool. Yeah, so that's really, you know, that's really what I'm offering. That's my front end offer. So to talk about sales, we have been seeing some really crazy success with LinkedIn prospecting, mm-hmm. right? But even more importantly, in the last couple of weeks, we started to run some TikTok ads. Now, I don't know a lot about TikTok.
Interesting.
But I discovered their ad platform, and I love to be on video. I'm promoting a video podcast series, so I'm like, I should do video ads for this. And I did it, and I got 84 people comment. My page grew. There's 21,000 views of this video. We're getting all these comments to sign me up, and we've had about 6 or 7 people just in the last couple of weeks apply to be a guest on Meet the Experts. So TikTok ads is there's a future there for that platform for sure.
That's so cool. So you did a TikTok ad promoting your podcast, is that right? To bring
yep.
guests onto the podcast.
And sure
it had,
did.
And it had 20,000 views.
Yeah. And on like a $200 ad budget. It really wow. wasn't a lot of money. Yeah.
So interesting. Yeah. I think podcasting is such a great way to network and meet people. And what's really cool about it is you're able to, like you said, it benefits everyone. You know, the listeners obviously benefit. They get given all this great content. Your guests still benefit. You're able to give them a really helpful piece of marketing, like a marketing tool that can help position them as an expert. And mm-hmm. then obviously, like, the podcast host is able to just, you know, meet other people, meet other entrepreneurs. So yeah, I love podcasting. And plus, you learn a ton along the way as well.
It's crazy how much I learned. Just today, talking about that property management thing, I had no idea that there were companies managing these short-term rentals. And then I have another client who's in manufacturing, mm-hmm. and they do metal manufacturing. This blew my mind. This sounds like the most dry, most dull, boring topic in the world. But what I never really stopped to think about is like these tiny little metal pieces that are manufactured, that are customized.
Yep.
There might be like 30 of these pieces in a door lock, mm-hmm. right? And you don't think about, there's companies that just make one of those 30 pieces, but you need all these different manufacturers and vendors to make this thing that seems as simple as a door lock. And it's crazy. The stuff I learned that I never thought about in business,
yeah.
like, oh, there's a need for that. Oh, I never thought, I just thought one company took care of it all, you know? And it's so fat. I love being a business owner. I love networking and learning new things.
Yeah, definitely. So cool. I love that you guys have your podcast as well. Very cool. So, you know, what would you say? I know you mentioned that, you know, putting those processes and procedures together was a big challenge that you guys had to overcome. Have there been, you know, any other big challenges that you've had to overcome along the way?
You know, I think that there has been. I think the easiest one to say along the way was COVID, right? When the pandemic happened. Although COVID didn't really hurt my business too bad. There were a few clients that, you know, had to shut down for a little bit or take a break. And I did lose those clients for that period of time. But along the way, I also was helping a few clients with their Shopify e-commerce stores, and mm-hmm. e-commerce really kind of took off, right? So it kind of balanced itself out. So although that was the scariest time, you know, that I thought was going to be the most challenging, it wasn't. You really want to know what the most challenging time as a business owner has been? My daughter is 6. She's going into first grade.
Mm-hmm.
These last couple months has been the first time in my life that I've had to deal with summer, right? And what I mean by that is, like, she's not in school all day. So there are days that I have to not work because I'm responsible for my 6-year-old. So I have to, like,
yeah.
go do things on a weekday when people are expecting me to get things done. So schedule and time management. Next year, I think I'll be a lot more prepared. And thank goodness for my wife who booked a bunch of like summer camps and activities for her to do.
Yep.
But that you want to talk about challenges, juggling family with business. I mean, that's a challenge that I think, you know, you ask that question and people immediately probably want to go with like financial times were tough or this, you know, this thing in business or difficult customers. For me, it's like just juggling the things that I love.
Yeah.
It's challenging.
Yeah. I have a 6-year-old as well. And I can completely relate to that. Yeah. You know, exactly. You know, times when she's not, you know, in daycare or in summer camp, then, you know, you want to keep them busy. So, you know, there are nights where, you know, you just end up working a little bit late or you end up, you know, catching up with some work on weekends. But, you know, at the same time, I just tell myself it's not going to last forever. And, it is what it is. You just kind of got to think on the fly and do what you can.
I'll tell you what, you just nailed it. Everything you just said. I was up till 1 a.m. last night because after we got her to sleep, I had things I had to do, right?
Yeah.
And I don't like working late into the night and I don't like always working on weekends, but you said it, you know, and it sounds like we're on very similar paths. This is the first summer that I've had to deal with this because she was in preschool prior to this and preschool went through the summer. We didn't have a summer break. So, I'm glad you and I are on that kind of same path. You know, I knew I liked you, Julia.
6-year-olds are busy. You got to keep them occupied all the time.
You're not kidding. Yeah.
Awesome. So, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Working. 5 years from now, look, I'm gonna hit 50 in 4 years. I'm getting up there now. Getting close. I don't see things changing too drastically. I have goals. I have a 3-year plan, not a 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. We have a 3-year plan that we're about. I guess we're almost a year and a half into it already, or a year into it. You know, I think it's really good to plan and have a strategy, even if I'm behind on those goals and on that mark, because what's getting measured is going to get optimized, right? You can't optimize what you don't measure. But my 5-year plan is to continue to increase revenue, turn my top line revenue into my bottom line profit. You know, that's my financial goal.
Yeah.
And I think really leveraging my team to allow me to be more of a CEO and less of a manager, right? So I think I want to make that move. I want to make that move out of management and more into just kind of the CEO, just being able to have a really great team that can deliver a really great customer experience with everyone we work with.
Awesome. Yeah. It sounds like a great, really exciting goal to work towards.
If it happens, I will be very excited.
Definitely.
We're going to make it happen.
So do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Goodness. I don't know. I don't know about words of wisdom. The one thing I will say, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, is find those people that are better than you, right? It's always about finding those people that are better at something you want to be good at, or maybe they've just more experience, more wisdom, mm-hmm. you know, been around the block a couple of more times than you have. And don't be afraid to ask questions. This isn't a competition. You know, I meet other agency owners all the time and you know, the first inclination is, ooh, they're competitors. But you know what? The more you can say, no, they're not. They're actually people who can really help. You know, the better off we do. Givers gain, right? Keep that mentality. Givers gain. Try to deliver value in advance of anything you do. Try to be helpful and try to just be humble enough to ask for help and not pretend like you know it all. When I meet other agency owners, I'm fascinated to know what they're doing to grow their agency, right? Yeah. And I certainly don't want to ever come off as pompous or a know-it-all, because chances are their business is 5 times, 10 times, 20 times bigger than mine, and they probably know a lot more. So try to find those people and surround yourselves with good people.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the more agency owners you can really surround yourself with, you know, it just gives you more opportunity to be able to refer work back and forth to each other. You know, sometimes you specialize in serving a specific niche, or you only offer specific services, and having those strategic partnerships where you can refer work back and forth is so helpful.
That's totally key. I'm in a couple of Slack channels with some other agency owners, and until about 3 months ago, I despised Slack, but I've realized that it can be useful if you can limit some of it. But yep. And I have every Tuesday morning, there's a group that we don't all own agencies per se, but we're all in some aspect of business ownership in the marketing field. And we call it weekly coffee and check-in, and we meet by Zoom. And, you know, what are your wins, right, for the week? Who's got something they want to talk about that was really great for them? What are your challenges this week? And really 30 to 45 minutes. And it's a small group, and we like it that way. But again, surrounding yourself with those strategic partners. I mean, we've passed business to one another, networking. I like what you said, those strategic partnerships, really important.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions.
I'm scared.
First question. What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
There's several, right? I'm going to say one from the business world would be Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes. I think it's a really great kind of timeless read. I know he's not alive anymore. His daughter, Amanda, runs the company. And that book has been really, really key. And so many, every time I revisit it, I learn something new. And then I have some, you know, personal books. I do, like the Bible is one that I like. Mm-hmm. And there was a book written called Liberty Defined years ago by Ron Paul. I was a young libertarianish person and got to help on his campaign. But I really thought that Liberty Defined taught me a lot about certain issues and kind of how to look at different sides of an issue. So mm-hmm. that kind of helped me just in forming kind of my life beliefs as well. So
I love that. That's a great answer. And what does your morning routine look like?
Coffee. After that, I can do anything. But first need coffee. You know, it changes. We talked about it, right? Summertime versus school time. It's getting up, getting the child ready, you know, or getting up, just doing breakfast and, you know, running around. I wish I could say I have some kind of like Zen. Oh, I get up in the morning and I meditate and I read, and I just don't. Right. And, yeah. You know, I'm busy. So for me, it's like, once I have some coffee, I'm all right. My eyes are open. I'm ready to go. Let's just go tackle the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just need a few minutes to, you know, wake up, have your moment of peace, and then you're good to go.
I'm good to go. Absolutely.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah. So one of the things I didn't mention is I'm actually a certified partner with Digital Marketer out of Austin, Texas, digitalmarketer.com. There's about 500 of us around the world. And Ryan Dice and Richard Lindner started that company. And luckily I've been fortunate enough to get to know both of those men. And, but I definitely follow both of them and study what they do. And then another one that I really like, who I only got to meet once so far, but I'll meet him again, is John Janch of Duct Tape Marketing. John is really cool. Duct Tape is really cool. His daughter Sarah is the operations person there. And I've gotten to hang out with her in Texas last year. I got to meet everybody in Austin last fall. But yeah, so Ryan Dice, Richard Lindner, John Janch, for sure.
Awesome. Very cool. And what is your favorite online tool?
You know, it's funny because I talked about StreamYard earlier because they do those live streams, but so I would have to say that that's up there. But what Nifty is a project management tool. I think you and I had chatted about Asana briefly. We were talking prior to this. Nifty is kind of like Asana or ClickUp. It's one of those tools that can help you with project management. And I don't know what I would do without Nifty. It really, like, I can go in there right now and I know exactly what's going on, what I need to get done, what my team is working on. And it just really keeps us organized.
Nice. Perfect. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I knew how important it was to document and build out systems and processes, a company playbook, and utilize it and put it into motion. I've spent so much time trying to figure things out or doing things over and over again, and each time trying to remember how I did it the last time. Instead of just, you know, if I know I have to do it more than once, just get it written down, document it, and go back to it. So we've been really big on trying to build out these company playbooks for our organization, both on the internal operations side, but also on the client fulfillment and execution side. Like how do we create a Google Ads campaign for a client, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we need that document because we're doing it for several clients, right? How do we keep our WordPress sites up to date and functional and highly performing? Like, we have to have documentation for that. And then also it's like, you know, what does the payroll process look like for our internal side? Or where's our company scorecard where we measure our metrics, right, every week? And what's our meeting rhythm and our meeting cadence internally? So there's a lot on both sides. But all of that has just been in the last, like, 2 years where we've really worked on that. So I spent the first 8 years just flying by the seat of my pants. And now things are getting a little easier because I have the documentation. It's easier to teach people what to do when you have a document you can send them to.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so easy to procrastinate on putting those together. And then, you know, and then you're scrambling all at once, trying to put all these documents together when you're trying to train your team. So definitely pays off to be organized as you go along the way. But it's so common, right? I think it's more common than not to put that off and then sort of learn the hard way when it comes to putting together your documents.
I agree. I think, you know, and I know I'm not alone, right? I know others that do what I do or just run their business owners, they all do it. I feel like it's like anything else. The pain has to get great enough, or you have to hit your head against the wall, you know, until you realize that you're being hurt, right? And that is different for everybody. That threshold, that tolerance for pain is different for everybody. And for, you know, I think everybody's got, like, their personal bottom that they have to hit before they're ready to do it. And you know, mine came when I really started to bring on contractors to do work for me. It's like, I need help. And then they're like, great, I can help. What do you need help with? And I'm like, I don't know. I just can't keep doing it all myself. You know, but if I, you know, now I know when I need to fill a role, right? I know what my organization should look like. And that's huge.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us for the podcast today. It was a real pleasure to have you on the show. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. So thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.